Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am here with the multi-talented Ryan Ochoa. He's a singer. He's an actor, and he's an awesome dude. Guys, we have plenty to talk about, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, Beast Mode from the Ochoa Boys. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know this song, this is Beast Mode by the Ochoa Boys, featuring one of our very own, Ryan Ochoa. Ryan, we're so glad to have you here in studio today, man.
Thank you so much. I actually shot and edited this entire video.
It looks great. Yeah. Definitely. Where'd you guys shoot?
We shot locally by our house near San Diego.
Okay,
and,
nice.
Actually, majority of the video started off in Lake Tahoe.
Okay, sweet.
I brought my GoPro with me, and originally we were kind of just shooting some lifestyle stuff on my GoPro in the water on the jet skis, just to kind of have fun. And then I started cutting it together to kind of do like a minute Instagram cool video. And I just happened to put Beast Mode to it. And I started editing and I was like, wow, this actually is turning out better than I thought.
Yeah.
And I just told the boys, I said, yo, let's just go back to the beach and shoot some video of us singing the song.
Nice.
And the rest, that's how that happened.
I love that you can tell it has a very like organic, it's not an over-directed music video, you know, and it has that like very natural feel. So
the beach we shot at was a little dirty, but
was it?
Yeah, I wasn't too happy with the watercolor, but
well, you guys gotta check it out. That's Ryan Ochoa's music video Beast Mode. We will be talking about it today here in our Spotlight On series. If this is your first time tuning into Spotlight On, guys, this is an interview series where we interview Hollywood's hottest established and up-and-coming talent here in the biz. You guys know Ryan. You know him, of course, from his Disney Nickelodeon days. But now you're a full-grown adult man actor doing big stuff. And you're primarily here to promote The Samuel Project, which is a wonderful film that you worked on with Hal Linden. Plenty to talk about. Before we get into it, though, guys, my name is Jeff.
Woo!
I am excited to talk to you today.
I'm excited to talk to you.
Well, let's get into it. I want to start with The Samuel Project because, of course, that's what you're here to promote. It looks like it's such a wonderful film. You've been doing a ton of press for it. You were at KTLA this morning. I saw you at Build in New York last week.
Cool.
How's the press tour been, first of all?
Life-changing.
Good.
This industry is pretty crazy. It's fast-paced, but it's also filled with a lot of rejection, and not too many people know this, but you know, this journey has been very tough. It hasn't been the easiest journey for me. I've worked hard for everything that I've gotten, and I wouldn't want it any other way. Not saying I'm unhappy about that, but it's moments like these that make all of those hard times worthwhile. Just going from place to place, you know, getting picked up in car services and, you know, me posting about being here and being there. It's cool. And but yeah, behind the scenes, it's those moments that really inspire me and motivate me to keep working and get back to another press tour like this, because it's been pretty awesome and something I wasn't expecting. But hey, I'm just very blessed right now.
It's awesome, man. Yeah, it's definitely a crazy business, and I'll be excited to talk with you. Guys, this is a long-form interview, so even though we will be talking about The Samuel Project, I'm excited to talk about some of your other work, your music, and just the experience of show business, because it is a wild industry, I know as well. But let's talk about the movie. If you were kind of pitching the movie to someone who knew nothing about it, how would you describe the film, and how would you describe your character in the movie?
Well, the film plotline is about a teenager named Eli who gets assigned an art project in high school, his senior art project in his media class, and ends up making his project about his grandfather, who he ends up building a relationship with through this project. And they build a relationship and really end up connecting after so many years of not really having a relationship with his grandfather, but they really connect through art.
Cool. You know, it's cool. The grandfather that you're talking about is played by Hal Linden, who, if you guys don't know, is just one of those legendary actors in this business.
Yes.
What was it like to work with Hal?
It was there are no words to describe it.
Yeah.
He's so wise. I mean, he has so much, so many experiences. I mean, he's lived a lot longer than I have. So I'm not saying he shouldn't have, but he's so talented and he just knows so much about the business. And I just really love how he's a storyteller.
Mm.
And I think that's why I am a fan of this movie. I really like this movie is we just told a good story.
Yeah.
And that was our focus. I mean, it wasn't about the explosions. It wasn't about villains.
Right.
It was about telling a good story between three generations. Because at the end of the day, it's not about just the grandson and grandfather. It's about my father and his father's relationship. Because nowadays, the communication and the generation gap, it trickles down from grandfather, father to son,
right,
to grandson. And those are the little elements that Hal brought to the story is let's focus on that and let's take away all of the cliche, all of the things that we've already seen in films.
Right. I love that you bring that up because so much of the movie industry now today is reboots of sequels that have already been franchised before. Which isn't bad, but it is so nice. I love going to a movie, not knowing much about it, and just seeing one story told start to finish.
Let's tell the world that, Jeff.
I know, exactly. But it's just nice. It's like, oh, this is the movie. This is the story that was meant to be told. And you can leave the theater and kind of close the chapter on that book. I feel like, you know, that's 70s, 80s, and 90s cinema was so focused on that type of old-fashioned storytelling. Mm-hmm. And I do miss that, even though I do love your blockbusters as well. But it seems like that was sort of an objective with this movie, was almost something a little more old-fashioned.
And we also joked about while we were shooting, oh, when's the sequel? But yeah, the truth is, this is a standalone story. And this is a movie I feel like will live on for generations. And not saying that we try to make an educational movie, but this movie, I mean, kids, parents, in, you know, 20 years from now, they can watch this movie and learn about something that happened 70 years ago, you know?
Well, and that's what I love is I feel like it's rare. You do see a lot of father-son movies, but it's rare to see a father or a grandfather's grandson movie.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned there are multiple generations, but I love that really the central focus of the film is between those two generations because you don't see it much. I was reading in some of your press materials that part of the humor of the movie comes from the generation gap between you two.
Yes.
I would love to hear you speak on that, not only in the movie, but if there was any on-set moments where you and Hal had any funny, like, generation gaps, like, cultural, with social media or anything like that.
Well, I'll just hint on stuff that happened, then you can probably pick of a story you want to hear.
Okay.
Social media, cell phone, technology, okay. Music, what else? Yeah, one of those three for sure.
Let's start with music because I'm interested to hear you and Hal's take.
Okay, so the scene in the movie, I don't want to spoil it, but
yeah.
I know we're going to talk probably later on about me and my brother's group, the Ochoa Boys.
We certainly will.
But that scene kind of happened right before we shot it because Hal didn't know that we were actually going to use a song that me and my brothers recorded for the movie. So we were kind of doing like a test, you know, rehearsal, and Mark was in our ear, or he was like on a cell phone and he was in the car next to us while we were shooting. And he was like, all right, Ryan, we're going to play back, you know, play the song. So we played this song and Hal looked at me like, Ryan, what is this? I'm like, hey, this is me and my brothers. He's like, wait, this is you. Oh boy. This is what the kids are listening to. But, no, it's fun. Like, I went back and watched videos of Hal and him playing the clarinet and the music is so much different. I've never heard of stuff like that.
Right.
But that just shows the type of music and the kind of the evolution of the music industry. And I think it's something that we just hint at a little bit in the movie.
Cool, the importance of sort of bridging those gaps.
Yeah.
And I love that. So you mentioned Mark, your director. of course, his most notable collaborator is Steven Spielberg, who he had worked with for a long time. What was it like working with Mark, and did he have any sort of Spielbergian advice while you guys shot?
I wrote a huge Instagram caption about Mark after we wrapped the movie. Mark is probably one of two reasons this movie is what it is.
The other one's you, right? I said it, not him.
Probably Mark and Steve. Well, definitely Hal, too, you know, but...
The truth is, with a movie, everything needs to work, so we want to credit everyone who is involved, but...
Absolutely, yeah. And I do, like, you know, at our premiere last night, I did... I mentioned our cast. I mean, this is an ensemble movie. Mm. The cast isn't too big. Everybody contributes to the film in their own way, and that's why, I mean, when one character comes on, it's not like they're just there. They're a huge factor to, you know, moving the story.
I love that.
And kind of goes back to Hal and how we, our characters affect each other and what roles do our characters play in telling the story. Knowledge I learned from Hal. Anyway, back to Mark. Mark directed this. He wrote it. He edited it. He produced it. But he's been around for so long. I mean, he has worked with the best. Mm. He was an assistant to the best. I mean, to... someone who's worked on Forrest Gump, Back to the Future, Forrest Gump, Jurassic World, Jurassic Park. I mean, these are huge movies, classic movies. And I always will remember when Mark told me, when I started making movies and shooting movies, I shot on original film, on film itself. And I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah, you probably didn't even know. Yeah.
I had no idea. And Mark ended up saying, he's like, he shot some sequences in this movie on film.
Cool.
So
yeah, for those who don't know, I'm sure we have a lot of young listeners, because obviously your demographic, Ryan is 10 years old, you know, he just started, and I'm just joking.
Yeah, exactly.
But you are very young, and you have so much time ahead of you in
compared
your career,
to these people on this movie
exactly.
who have been around. Like, these people have worked with the best, and I mean, they are experienced, and... I was just lucky to be surrounded by such talented people.
Right. But for those who don't know, when we talk about film, back before digital, when, you know, directors and cinematographers made movies, they were actually shooting on an actual product, you know? And then during editing, they had to go through and you were physically putting film together and
physically
cutting it together.
Cutting it.
And yeah, so when we say cutting a movie, they were actually cutting film and assembling it. So
and it's not easy.
Right.
I mean, that's like, those are... If anyone knew how to do that, films would be a lot different than they are now. So Mark is a visionary, and Mark brought that to our movie.
Amazing. Well, I'm so excited for you guys, and I want to give you so many congratulations on the movie.
Thank you. Real quick,
I do see we have some live viewers, which is exciting. So if you guys are in the chat, I'm sure you're Ryan fans. Go ahead and submit some questions, and we'll be answering those near the end. So... we're just super excited about
it. Some Ryanators in the house.
Some Ryanators. We got them in the chat, and we're super excited about it. So you mentioned that the Ochoa Boys are featured in the Samuel Project.
Yes.
Let's talk about your band. Who are you guys? It's a family affair. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, we're brothers. We're best friends. We are each other's sidekicks. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've grown up together, and our dynamic is special. I mean, anyone that hangs out with us, they just, like, you know, I mean, we're tight, like, we're super tight, and we always want to be together, and we want to succeed together. So not sure if many people know this, but when I was on, you know, my show on Disney, music was kind of an option, but I never wanted to do, you know, something solo. I wanted to succeed with my brothers. So we actually wanted to originally write a show or write a movie together, but it seemed like it was going to be something that probably was going to take maybe a year, 2-3 years. And we knew music was something that we could do right then. But you can't just say, oh, we're going to do music. Coincidentally, we all like the same genre. We all love hip-hop. We all love, you know, dance music.
EDM.
And we were like, hey, you know, let's try to put something together that's original and new. And our dad, I mean, was a DJ back then. Way back then. Just kidding. And...
he's in the room, and he's not happy.
He's in the room,
you guys.
He's in the room.
He's fuming over there.
And our dad started to make our very first beats, our first songs. We built a whole studio in our house, and we started performing. And we had like two performances, and we were getting great reactions, just like from the music. Aside from who we were and me being on the show, people were like, I really like the sound, but we knew that we weren't there yet. So just got to give a shout out. We ended up, we met Shane Sparks, our choreographer, who was helping us with our stage show. And then he introduced us to our producer, who we still work with. His name's, he goes by RNS Beats. And he took our sound to another level. And Sweet. Now all of our songs, we collaborate. I mean, my dad, my brother Bobby, they kind of make a foundation or some sort of beat. And then we bring it into RNS. And then he just, we call it Nestleizes it.
Cool. Nice.
And
Nestleizes it for the Ryanators. I love it.
For the Ochoanizers.
For the Ochoanizers.
Oh, I can't claim that in front of the boys.
Enough,
the Ochoanizers.
I love it. So I'm glad you brought up your family because you see so often in this industry especially, showbiz families can't always make it work, and you see certain members of the family who are estranged from parents. Yeah. And it's so nice and inspiring to see a nice grounded kid with, it seems like, a dad who supports his son's careers
and mom
of course.
And mom.
So what do you think it is? Why do you guys think you all have your heads on straight, and why do you get along with your brothers when so often in this business especially family can be such a mess?
I mean, not saying that we're perfect.
Right.
There are the moments where we don't see eye to eye. Those are some fun moments, too. That's where the reality show comes in.
Right.
But I think it kind of goes back to when my parents were our age, and, you know, they didn't really have parents. I mean, unfortunately, my mom's dad passed away when she was like 10, 11
wow.
years old. You know, so they really didn't have parents around. My dad didn't know his dad. My dad's mom was sick. She had MS. And yeah, well, it's kind of crazy. They really didn't have, like, you know, parents growing up. It was kind of them all on their own. And when my parents met and they knew each other in elementary school, they ended up dating in high school. And now they're high school sweethearts.
Oh, I love that.
Little love story, right? they kind of had similar stories in a way. And probably, you know, raising kids, they told that to each other, like, we want our kids to have a family, we want our kids to have parents that support them. And from day one, it's been mom and dad always behind our backs. Whatever we do, they always support us.
I love that.
Every decision, music, acting. I mean, my older brother just got a huge animation job, and they supported him going off and pursuing that. And it's always, they always got our back. But we know that they know it's in return for us, too, that we want them to be happy and stable.
Right. All that goodwill. That's so interesting to hear. You weren't really raised with any grandparents. So that must have been interesting.
Yes and no.
Or grandfathers, it sounds, or like biological grandfathers, at least.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm close with my great grandparents and my grandma, my mom's mom.
Your mom's mom. It's just interesting to think about going into this movie where the grandfather grandson relationship was such a central part of the film, and you have a complicated relationship with, it sounds like, your grandparent history.
Exactly. The only grandparent that I have of parent wise, I believe, is my grandma Laura, my mom's mom. My dad's parents aren't here. My dad's mom, my grandma Gina, passed away when I was 6 months old, so I obviously don't remember her. It was an interesting relationship going into the movie. But I do have a close relationship with my great-grandma, Betty, my dad's grandma, and finding those connections, those disconnects between my family and Eli's grandparents, it kind of all played a role in finding that character.
I bet.
Because I don't really have that in my, you know. I do and I don't.
Right. And that speaks to how complicated family is, right? I mean, someone who works in this business, sometimes your on-set family can feel like a family just as much as your own family can be. And I think for culture and generations now, the definition of family might be a little bit less in a box than it used to be.
Yeah, definitely.
So I want to talk about, of course, so many of your fans do know you from your previous experiences on Disney and Nickelodeon. And I feel like you're one of the few actors who's worked on both. You've worked under the Nickelodeon umbrella and the Disney umbrella.
Oh,
just as, you know, it's for someone, because I'm about your age. I'm older, but not too much older, guys, you know. But I do kind of want to hear, because I was raised watching that stuff. Were there any, like, huge differences between the Disney umbrella and the Nickelodeon umbrella? Like, is there anything you can share? Because I'm so curious for some of the behind-the-scenes production components of each of those networks. It's not a small question.
Without getting in trouble.
Right, exactly. I know there's probably only so much you can say, but...
without getting in trouble. Let's see. The flow, the energy is the same.
I'm sure, yeah.
I mean, you bring the same energy. The fan bases are the same. I mean, and then again, sometimes they're not. Some people's like, oh, I only watch Nickelodeon. I only watch Disney.
Right.
So I do get that. Some people, but I'm saying in general, the demographics are the same. They do watch each other, though.
I will
say that.
Yeah. In the same way that NBC and ABC watch each other, right?
Yes,
networks
exactly.
compete, and networks are always competing for demographics. So it's a very diplomatic response.
I don't know if I've said this before. It doesn't really matter. But I feel like I got Disney because of Nickelodeon.
Mm. I mean, I'm sure
because I wasn't a series regular on iCarly.
Okay.
I was only a heavy recurring.
Mm.
And so I wasn't under contract with iCarly. They would just call me randomly, "Hey, we want Ryan for another episode." Fast forward, Disney was like, "Well, yeah," and I think that's how it kind of happened.
That makes
sense.
They
were like, "Hey, we'll sign Ryan under contract."
Yeah, that's it. For those who are listening.
So it was bittersweet.
I'm sure it was.
Because I really, really, really did truly enjoy both, and I took a lot from both and built amazing friendships from both networks with both Cassie and Carew.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so much that you build, especially on a show, because you're there day after day after day.
Yeah.
And I think on iCarly, you were about as close to being a series regular as you could be without officially having
close,
that designation.
I heard I was this close.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But they ended up bringing Gibby as a series regular because me and him were kind of the same.
That's right.
Well, he was in a lot more at the time, like recurring. So when they ended up, they're like, well, probably could use Gibby more. It's funny I'm saying the character's name years later. So they ended up, they hired him as a series regular. So then right when Disney hired me, they were like, oh, we can't have another series regular. So I had to say bye-bye.
That's how this business works. It is interesting, though, because that's such a specific type of acting. It's such a specific type of production environment. Yeah. It's multi-cam versus something like this, which is this really naturalistic, true-to-life single-cam work. Mm-hmm. So do you miss ever doing that kind of theatrical multi-cam stuff that you were doing earlier in your career?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like all of those have led me to this. Not too many people know. I always try to tell people, but I was doing film before.
Mm.
I did a baseball movie called The Perfect Game. I was in A Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey.
Oh, that's right.
I just ran into Gary Oldman today, actually. He played my dad. I did the voice of Tiny Tim, and he played Tiny Tim. So I was doing film before I got iCarly and Nickelodeon and Disney. And then I got that, and I like it, though, because I feel like I've done it all now.
Right.
In a way. I'm not saying I've experienced the network or the big films. Then I did the teen sitcoms, I guess, the kid sitcoms. Experienced that world, which is, I mean, insane.
It's its own beast.
That comes with, a fan base. I mean, I owe all, the fans to them, like that's how I built established a name in this industry, I feel like.
Right.
And then now I'm in the, like, shooting an independent film and doing an independent film, which is so different to a huge studio Walt Disney picture like A Christmas Carol, which was when I was 10 years old. So I'm making my way into, different paths and kind of just exploring, what I like best. And, I feel like I'm not done yet, hopefully.
I'm sure you're not. I mean, you're so young, and for someone at your age to have done multicam, to have done a big studio movie, to do an indie, it is very impressive. And it does make me wonder what other corners. I mean, you're also doing music.
And
but
I was about to say, and music. I mean, that's taken us around the world already.
Sure.
And that's a whole nother industry, too. The music industry is wild.
Yeah.
And but, like I said, we like pounding the pavement and trying to get to the top there too, because being a big actor is different than being a big musician or a big group. And then another thing, we're also a music group, the Ochoa Boys. I'm not just saying Ryan Ochoa, like a lot of people came from Disney and they just have their name and they have their Disney, their Disney name or their Nickelodeon name solo, and they're a solo artist. It's not Ryan Ochoa, it's the Ochoa Boys. So we're trying to promote a group and build our music group as one, as a group.
Good for you guys. It makes me wonder, though, like, what other corners of this industry, like, you haven't done a soap yet? You know, like, is there
any... Oh, that is one that my mom's waiting for.
Is she? Nice.
I've been watching Days of Our Lives since I was, like, in elementary school. Yes, Days of Our Lives. The only soap that I like that, and my mom's been watching that and Young and the Restless since she was 10 years old. Yeah.
So are you still watching Days?
I do still watch
so
Days.
I
not
tell you,
on
Ryan,
the daily.
But you're familiar. I got to tell you, we do an after show here. A lot of what we do is TV coverage. And our soap coverage, the fans are so voracious. And we do a weekly recap of Days. So we'll have to bring you on that show.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Sean and Bell.
Yeah.
Sean and Bell. Yeah, that's my story there.
We'll have your people talk to my people and we can make it happen.
Sweet.
So you haven't done like a soap yet? It's like, is there anything else that you look at? Superhero, you know, any like roles that you'd be really, or even spaces like a network comedy? Like, what do you look at and think, I want to do that?
It's always been the superhero, but I had a big chance. I'm not going to say what, you know, what name, but there was a big role that was in the mix. And I feel like maybe it happened for a reason. Maybe that's not my path.
Hmm.
You look at big actors like Robert Downey Jr., and he's Iron Man. Like, as awesome as that is, and as he's, like, the greatest, and I never want him to leave that role, maybe it's not what I'm supposed to be, you know? Sometimes I'm like, maybe I'm not supposed to be the face of a character. That's why I kind of like, oh, maybe I should play Eli, then I could play Jorge, and then I can play...
Well, because that's what happens, is if you get these huge... Even, like, an actor who, obviously, Robbie Downey Jr. is one of the greats, but he's talked on the record about how it can be hard to carry that with you going into auditions, because even if you're perfect for the role, producers might not want to greenlight Iron Man in a family dramedy, you know?
I mean, so... he's the face of the Avengers, no matter what, and that's something cool to carry with you.
For sure.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like, he's going to be able to live his life saying, yeah, I mean, I'm probably the face of Marvel, but... I don't know, maybe it's, who knows? I'm not saying it's out of the question. Maybe Spider-Man has a friend, who knows? But I do, like I said, I want to do it all in the acting industry and a soap. I do like independent filmmaking, though. Mm. It's, I want to work with Leonardo.
Yeah.
I want to work with Leo DiCaprio, and all of his movies are story-driven, not sequels.
Yeah,
he's the man. I mean, that's the dream role right now, is probably to do a movie like that. Why? Because I know it's going to be a good story, you know, big film working with my idol, and it's an Oscar film. It'll be some sort of potential of being that caliber.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, Leo's one of the greats.
Not a superhero movie, because Leo won't be a superhero.
Well, you know what?
But he's the man.
Like, I've said that about certain actors, and then, like, I feel like now you never know. Like, I don't think Leo would ever do that, but...
I don't think so. If he does, then I'm mistaken, and I've got it all wrong.
But, I could see him playing a villain, maybe.
Well, he kind of did in Django.
Yeah, that's true.
He did Django, and he was an awesome villain.
He was great.
But it wasn't a superhero villain. He is the man. Leo. I'm ready.
He's your boy. Well, I do see we have some Ryanators in the chat. So if you guys have... Oh, here we go. Ryan, what's your favorite candy? This comes from Ashley Johnson.
Ashley Johnson. Favorite candy? Snickers.
Favorite junk food from Janice Rico?
Well, we eat McDonald's, like, all the time.
What's your go-to McDonald's?
Now it's the new glazed tender chicken wings.
Oh, I haven't had them yet.
Wow. Oh, I've had them, like, three times the past week.
Oh, I'm so there. I'm a Taco Bell person.
Well, yeah, that's our place.
That's your second.
It just opened up by our house.
Dangerous.
That's my dad's favorite.
Nice.
So we probably eat Taco Bell 4 days out of the week. It's
I love
pretty
it.
Sad. Sometimes we ate it one day, three times a day.
What do you get at T-Bell?
The new cheesy gordita crunch.
The new cheesy. I always get a crunch wrap.
Wow. I'm so thankful for that $5 box.
Yep.
The $5 box introduced me to that. So now I'm getting the box, and I'm like, hey, Mom, just give me the $5 box. You guys have the two tacos, and you guys have it, and I'll just eat the cheesy gordita.
Strategy. I love it. Any allergies, Ryan? That comes from Crystal Rodriguez.
Wow. That is a good question, because I've never been asked that before. I actually don't have any allergies, knock on wood, that I know of.
Yeah, that you know of. One day I'll have kiwi and be like, I don't know. But I'm sure you've already had kiwi. At this point,
wait,
you would probably
that explains that one time. I was just kidding.
Uh-oh.
No, I don't. I don't have...
Favorite sports team from Janice again?
Janice. I think I know Janice.
Nice.
She knows She knows this answer, though.
Uh-oh, so Janice...
Oakland Raiders.
It's the Raiders, okay. Well, if you guys want
to... Jeff doesn't like me after hearing that. He's a Charger fan.
It's all right, we're going to move on. It's all good. I'm not upset or anything. It's all fine. If you guys want to throw up some more questions, I'll pepper in a few more. But you were just talking about Leo. I do love to ask young actors especially, sort of other dream collaborators, any directors that you look at that you would love to work with?
Scorsese.
Yeah. Speaking of Leo, if you're working with Leo, you'll probably be working with Scorsese too, right?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
You kind of got that. He loves that Italian thing. I feel like you have that Italian thing. That
you
likes...
play an Italian.
Yeah, there it is.
That was that Mexican? Gee, wow.
I heard both. It depends. I just think you kind of have the Scorsese look. I could see him maybe wanting to pull you into one of his films. You never know.
Well, since Mark worked with Spielberg,
yeah,
he's got to be on the list. I don't know if you know this, but I was in A Christmas Carol. I was in Mars Needs Moms. Christmas Carol was written and directed by Robert Zemeckis.
Mm.
And Mars was produced by him. And then I did another secret project that never found the light of day, but it was a Zemeckis project. And then just last year, I just shot a new Netflix series that he's the producer of.
Great. Well,
him and his team.
When is that dropping?
Next year. It's
okay.
A Netflix series, and it's going to be massive.
Awesome.
But
nice.
And it's super cool.
Well, please come back for it.
Oh, I will.
When you're here,
because
we cover a ton of Netflix here, so I'm sure we'll be talking about it. So you were mentioning you edited that Ochoa Boys video we saw earlier, Beast Mode. Check that out, guys.
I think I've edited 5 or 6 out of the 7.
That's awesome. Not every actor is interested in multiple components of the business, but, you know, having edited, do you have any interest in writing or directing?
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
The dream goal down the road, not saying I'm ready for it, is to write, direct, and star in my own movie.
Amazing.
I know that is a lot of work because my good buddy Dave Angus, he's a first assistant director. We worked with him on Christmas Carol and Mars. I just was on the set of Jungle Cruise with him. Mm. He's working on Jungle Cruise. But I also went to the set of Zoolander 2 with him, and Ben Stiller directed. I believe he wrote it and he starred in it.
Yep.
Watching Ben... kudos to him, because it's crazy. I mean, you're in the middle of a scene and, you know, he's acting with Owen Wilson, and then he's in character as Zoolander, and then all of a sudden he'd be, hey, change your name.
Yeah.
Okay, back. Back. I'm like, wow.
Every
he's like,
hat.
He's on. Like, yeah. When he is on. Yeah, he has every hat on in the scene. And dude, directing, I mean, that's... Director, you're just behind the monitor watching, but imagine being in the scene.
Right.
So... yeah, kudos to Ben Stiller. That's a lot of work, but hey, I will be ready to take that challenge on in a year.
Next year. Well,
just kidding.
You know, Bradley Cooper directed his first feature.
Yes,
if you guys
did.
Haven't seen A Star Is Born yet, it's pretty good. Okay.
Comes out the same day as ours.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring it on, Bradley.
A couple other. So a show that you watched this year that you loved, or a show that you love that you're not in, that you would recommend for people to watch.
Ooh, The Good Doctor.
Oh, nice. I love that show.
Freddie Highmore is...
unbelievable.
Probably the best young actor out there right now, to me. His performance on that, I mean, my little brothers, Bobby and Raymond, they watched Bates Motel, the entire series, and I would peek in here and there and watch it, and I'm just, like, fascinated. He's insane. And then The Good Doctor comes out, and we've been watching that show since episode 1, because... Bates Motel, I mean, I was like 5 seasons behind. I'm
right.
Like, I ain't trying to binge that many. So I did start The Good Doctor, and one of the producers, co-producers of The Samuel Project, his daughter was an executive producer. Not anymore, but she was on the first season.
Oh, cool.
So I was like, come on,
get
Gary.
Me in there.
Come on, Gary.
Nice.
That is a good show. I would
it's
love
really
to be
good.
On that show.
It's so rare to have an actual family show that you can watch with everyone, and it's really good.
Going back to what we said, he's acting on that show. It's not a superhero show. He doesn't have superpowers. He is putting on a performance every episode. He's not going in there just playing himself or smiling for the camera and reading lines. No, he's in character.
Yeah, disappearing.
Yeah, and yeah, you watch him. You don't see Freddie Highmore.
Right. Yeah, he's great. I like him too. And then maybe a movie that you've seen this year that you loved.
It's called The Samuel Project.
Hey-o!
It hits theaters this Friday.
There it is. You're good at your job. But that Samuel Project theaters this Friday. It's good.
Movies this year. God, I watch a lot of superhero movies, man.
Yeah. Black Panther. It's hard to
I actually
that.
Watched that on the airplane to Atlanta. Yeah, when I was going to Jungle Cruise. Yeah. I'm not a huge Black Panther fan.
Fair enough.
What movies came out this year?
You know, movies I like.
Throw some at me and I'll...
Did you see Game Night?
No, I did not. That's a comedy.
That's a comedy.
I'm not really into comedy movies anymore.
If you're into a good, like, dramatic feature, this is funny because I threw this question at you and now I'm throwing it back at me and I don't know if I have an answer. So, you know, we'll think about it off the
record. Gary Oldman's movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was, that was Darkest Hour last year.
Darkest Hour, yeah.
Such a great movie.
Was that last year?
That was last year, technically, but...
December, November?
Yeah, very late. Oh. So we can count that because I also love Darkest Hour. He was unreal in that movie. Yeah.
I told him today, I said, congrats on your Oscar. Yeah. Well deserved.
Well deserved. Yeah, it's funny. I went into that movie thinking, like, I think I'm going to like this movie, but it might not be for me. And I was, like, attached to every scene because he was so good.
Yeah.
Great film. Well, Ryan, I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited for Samuel Project. You've mentioned some other stuff, but I'm sure some of it you can't really talk about. But anything that you can plug right now, this is your chance, in addition to Samuel.
Plug right now. My older brother is actually, he just got a lead animation job. So he's kind of, we've encouraged him to move on and kind of pursue his career.
Cool.
Something that he went to college for, got his degree for in animation. And so now us three of the younger boys, the three younger Ochoa boys are now pursuing music without him as of now. Down the road, who knows what will happen.
Of course.
But like I said, we're brothers. So definitely look out for some new Ochoa Boys music videos. And behind the scenes, like you talked about a little bit, I'm a filmmaker. Like I own my own production company.
Cool.
And I love filming. I love being behind the camera. It's something that I can do now that I have my own cameras with a Z.
Right.
I have multiple cameras. I'm always trying to shoot, whether it's our music videos, but... ours, we're so picky about them. So we're always trying to, like, 5 months it takes us to release something because I have to make sure it's perfect.
That's good, though.
They got to be big productions.
That's good.
But in the meantime, I'm actually shooting videos for other upcoming artists and actors, and whether they're short films that I write or that people send me, and I'm like, hey, I actually would want to do this. And so I'll post some here and there. I have a music video coming up that I'm going to share that I'm working on. I shot it, and I'm editing it right now. So
great.
After the movie comes out, I'll dive back into that.
Well, guys, that movie is The Samuel Project. It comes out this Friday. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You and Hal are so good in it. And it's just...
shout out to Hal Linden.
Yes.
You're amazing.
Just,
I love you.
It sounds like the kind of movie that anyone would want to see, especially in a... I don't want to make it political, but it's been a tiring year for all of us. So this sounds like the kind of movie that has the uplift. Families could go see. It sounds like a movie for everyone, you know?
This is a movie for everyone.
And I love it.
It's not just for... the older generation. It's not for just, you know, a husband and wife to go on movie night. It's not just for kids to go in a class project. This is for everybody. I mean, you can go with your classroom, your teacher, your mom, your dad, your grandparents. What I like hope happens in the theaters when this comes out is I hope like a son or a daughter will go with their mom and their dad and their grandparents.
Cool.
Make it a big family night because everyone's going to learn something. Running out of time, but I've had so many, you know, grandparents and parents have their own stories and connect with my character, the dad's character, the grandparents' character in their own ways. Like I said, you can go see it and take what you want from the movie because there is no certain, you know, element that we're or theme that we're trying to give off. People are going to take what they want from the movie. That's why everyone's got to go see it together.
I love it. Well, with that, guys, couldn't have said it better myself. Samuel Project One More Time comes out this Friday, starring Ryan Ochoa. Ryan, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I had a blast.
Good. I'm glad. Well, guys, this has been Spotlight On here on AfterBuzz TV. If this is your first time tuning into AfterBuzz, maybe you're a Ryanator who found us through him. We are a TV coverage network. We cover just about anything that's airing on TV right now. So we have after shows with critics and super fans who love to talk TV. We bring on guests from the shows. And we just, if we're like you... we're obsessed with TVs and movies, too. So check out our podcast. Check out our shows. If you're interested in what I do, I host and produce a weekly show called The Unproduced Table Read on our sister network, The Popcorn Talk. We've been on a brief hiatus, but we're coming back soon. We table read unproduced pilots and features and bring on the writers. And it's a great show. And you can hear great advice from up-and-coming writers. So that's The Unproduced Table Read. Ryan, where can they find you online?
On Instagram and Twitter, @RyanOchoa. I'm very active.
Yeah.
On Snapchat, the number one crazy rah-rah. Got my Snap team. Nice. Can't forget the Snap team. And YouTube is Ochoa Boys with a Z or one crazy rah-rah. Got to post on there more, but yeah, that's where you can find me. Well, Dream Wish Believe.
Yeah, Dream Wish Believe. Thanks that's for being here, Ryan. We'll have you back soon, hopefully. And guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time here on Spotlight On.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world. And we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.